Well, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Les Jordan coming to you from my secret underground bunker, Area 52, in an undisclosed location. And we want to just encourage you today that in spite of the major threat that we're all under, coronavirus, COVID-19, whatever you want to call it, there's more to the story. As the old saying is, there's more than to the story than what meets the eye. And we want to go to the Bible, and we want to discuss these issues. And, you know, this is something new we're going to start going forward with social media, which we haven't used a lot in the past with our church. But to stay in connection, because as you know, we're not allowed to have services now, temporarily, churches and different places, bars and churches are not allowed to congregate. I'm okay with the bar, but not with the church not being able to congregate, but to comply with the laws of the land, because we do believe in complying as much as possible. Now, when it comes to denying Jesus Christ, that's when we stop complying. But in the meantime, just to be safe and to try to not cause more trouble than, you know, right now everything's being hyped up. We're not going to overwhelm the police department or the sheriff's department to happen to come and try to figure out if they should arrest us or not for not following the orders of our president, as well as our governors, our mayors of our cities that are trying to curb this virus outbreak. And if you notice behind me here, I have a shelf with all kinds of little special things on it. At the top, you'll see over there to my left, your right, is boxes of commercial rolls of toilet paper. They are very, very, very valuable commodity at this time. And we have been blessed and fortunate to have several boxes, but they are hidden in my bunker, so no one will be able to find them. And so that's a little fun and games we're having there with you. But we're going to talk about the problem, the state of emergency that we're in right now, according to those that are in our leadership. They've declared our nation in a state of emergency, which if we weren't in one or wasn't reasonable or justified, it's going to be in the days going forward, because we are causing more and more problems with the problem. Now, many believe that the number one issue is the coronavirus. I believe there's greater, deeper issues than that. I'm going to get into that with you a little bit today, hopefully with the Word of God. But I just wanted to speak to the church mainly today. Anybody else that would listen to this, may God bless you in this also. But we're wanting to be a blessing and also stay in communication with our regular church folk that cannot come to our church at this time, and you're staying home, and that's good right now, but you need to be in your Bible, and you need to be praying, and you need to make sure you keep yourself built up spiritually, as well as physically, emotionally. And God is in control, no doubt about it, and we'll see that also in the Word of God today. None of this has caught God off guard. If you've been attending this church any length of time, especially our Bible study, and over the years, you'll know that we have went over these verses that talk about the end times and what we're going to face in these end times. And that there's going to be, the Bible talks about distress of nations with perplexity. They're going to be wringing their hands, what to do. They're going to need an extra drink. They're going to need some more Xanax, trying to calm their nerves. The Bible said men's hearts, Jesus said this, failing them for fear, anxiety, attacks, looking at those things which are coming up on the earth. And matter of fact, I think it's in Luke, it talks about Luke 21, about the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear of those things which are coming. This is a virus, which if you look it up, it's interesting. The word virus, look it up in your dictionary or online if you want. The word actually means poison. I believe our economy is being poisoned by this, which ultimately trickles down and affects every person, because we're all affected by the economy. Like it or not, we're all tied to it. They call it the almighty dollar for a reason. Now, we know our God is above it all, but even the Bible says we're to pray for those that are in authority that it may go well with us. Who's the us? Believers. We are affected by what happens. The Lord promises that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and he's with us in our trials and tribulations, but he didn't say we wouldn't have trials and tribulations. So just because the Lord's with us does not mean we don't feel the stress, the anxiety, the pressures. What are we going to do? We're going to trust the Lord. We're going to pray. We're going to stand on the Word of God that we have been preaching and teaching that we believe is the rock. And Jesus said, when the rains come, when the trials come, when the storms come, not if, when, and beat up on that house. He talks about two different houses, one built on the sand, one built on the rock. Both have rock in them as far as their makeup of their molecular structure. Sand is rocks. It's particles of rock. So people that have built their life on pieces of the Bible, a scripture here, a scripture there, a twist here, a twist there, are going to find out when the storms of life come. The Bible says that house, when the rains come, it is wiped away and you don't see it no more. It's a sandcastle. But those that build their hopes, their faith, their lives on the solid rock, which we know the solid rock, according to the Bible, is Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 10, that rock which followed them, they all drank from that spiritual rock, which was Christ. He is the rock that does not roll. And if you are on the rock, you will be safe, even though the storms come. And the Bible said both houses were beat on. Both houses, the rains descended, the floods rose, but the one house endured it, the other house was wiped away. You're going to see, just like people are concerned about being weak physically, and this virus, most people, it doesn't fatally kill them or put them in death because of this virus, as long as they weren't already weak with some other sickness, underlying issues, maybe old age, whatever, have a weak immune system, some other physical complication. I believe this is also true in a spiritual sense, that those that are already weak right now, when the next wave comes of attack of the enemy, you'll see people wiped out. And it's not God's will. It's not God's will, he said in his word, that any should perish. But many did perish in the flood. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament, just like in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking until the flood came and took them all away. And they perished. The Bible said they perished with a flood of ungodly wickedness, with the flood of ungodly men. Talks about men being like the flood. We're not going to have a literal wave come and wipe us out, but the Bible talks about the flood of iniquity. When we have all the perversion that's in our land, which I don't want to get into today in depth, but when we have transgenderism and drag queens reading story time to our children at the public library and in our schools, when we promote same-sex marriage and abortion on demand and send it around the world, sponsoring abortions in other countries, paid for with our federal tax dollars, while we have homeless problems in our streets, we're paying for abortions in other countries. God's word says, be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And if you sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. So floods, whirlwinds, tornadoes, we had them last night, I guess, all up from Missouri, up through Kansas, Nebraska, Ohio, flooding, people being washed away with the floods, literal floods, and tornadoes, and just storms. We've got locust plagues going around the world right now. We've got this pandemic, which means worldwide, nations that are right now shaking to their very core, financially going broke, the stock market crashing. These are all side effects and symptoms of a greater cause, sin. And I want to go to the Bible today, and I just want to say again that this is a blessing to be able to come to you by way of via this internet and being recorded today so you can watch this. We're going to upload this going forward, hopefully on our Facebook page, which is House of Prayer, Council Bluffs. I believe that's where you can find this. If you're on it now, I guess you know where it's at. But try to pass the word around. If you know other people that need to be blessed, encouraged, challenged, we try to do all that. And one nutshell here. And want to encourage you, want to speak to you and tell you that God's going to take care of you. If you're abiding in him, last Sunday we preached a message, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We talk about God being our strong tower and our refuge and our fortress. He's the place we hide. I don't have a bunker. This is just a room I'm using, but I tease and call it my bunker. But my hiding place, literal hiding place, is in Jesus Christ. And His Word, I like the song says, the comfort I get from God's holy Word. You can be comforted by the Word of God. And so even though sometimes the Word of God is strong and there's fearful things in it, just knowing that God told us these things were going to happen, the very thing He told His disciples after He rose from the dead. The Bible says He upbraided them for their unbelief. And he chastised them for not believing that He told them before He was crucified that these things were going to happen. As I was saying, Jesus, even after He rose from the grave, the first thing He did was appear to His disciples. When He got the chance, He met with them and He challenged them and upbraided them, the Bible says, for their unbelief, because they had forgotten His words of exhortation and warning that He was going to be delivered to the scribes and the Pharisees, that He was going to endure strong scourging and mockery, the Bible said, and ultimately they was going to kill Him, put Him on the cross and crucify Him. So then when it happened, the Bible says they all fled in fear, and the Lord was surprised and question them on, why were you so fearful? Why would you respond this way? I feel the Lord would say the same thing to His disciples today if He was here to talk to us personally, which He is through His Word and the Holy Spirit, and we to each other as His followers. We need to encourage each other. Hey, brother, hey, sister, why be so fearful? Yes, these are fearful things, and yes, these are trying times, but we trust in the Lord. And the Bible said, they that fear the Lord, they that trust the Lord, they shall not make haste. Be anxious for nothing. We don't have to be afraid of these things. We have to fear God. And Jesus even made it plain. Don't fear Him who can kill your body, coronavirus, cancer, or whatever. But fear Him that can kill both body and soul in hell. We fear God. And that's the fear that conquers all fear. But I do want to bring something to you today. And as I said, we plan to try to have words of encouragement hopefully as often as possible, if not daily, every other day, hopefully. We're going to be bringing truths to you out of the Word of God, keeping you encouraged and built up while you're sitting at home trying, you know, to figure out what to do and just kind of watching one bad thing after another about this whole ordeal. Nothing wrong with you wanting to know what's going on, but if you're looking for something to feed your soul, you're looking for something to encourage your faith, your walk with God. If you're like me, I want to build my spirit man up and keep him built up because a lot of attacks are coming against my spiritual immune system. And same way with you, you're no different than me. And Jesus told His disciples what? Pray lest you enter temptation, for your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. All of us are weak in our own flesh. We need God to build up our innermost being, our spirit man. The Bible says that you might be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And so the Word of God, prayer, the Holy Spirit, Bible, brother, sister, Christian fellowship builds us up. And then Jude says, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So there is something you can do right now while we're going through this, what we're going through. How long is it going to last? Who knows? You know, if it ain't this, it's going to be something else right after this. So from here going forward, I think it's time for us to, you know, just lock down with God. Let's get serious with serving the Lord. If you've been playing games, riding the fence, wondering, you know, I'm going to wait till it's really late, then I'm going to get right with God. Well, I think it's late enough for you, me, and everybody else. Let's get right with God. Let's work while it's day. The night's coming. Jesus said no man will be able to work. Take advantage of this opportunity right now to share your faith while other people are trying to figure out what to do, what's going on. Everything's uncertain. Their job, the economy, our government, the election this year, 2020, all that. You know, we can use this as an absolute opportune time for us to share what we believe, what the Bible says. And people right now are a little more open to hearing about different viewpoints on this, because nobody seems to have the exact answer. You know, we get told one minute that we don't have enough respirators, that people are going to be rushing to the hospital and can't breathe, and we've got to get respirators, and we're not prepared, we don't have enough respirators. And then the next time we get told that if you do get coronavirus, just stay home and ride her out. Well, I don't have a respirator at home, so I thought I had to have a respirator. Well, maybe you do if it's bad enough, maybe you don't. Who knows? I do have to have God. Whether I live or die, I need God. So we're going to go to the Word of God. I'd like to just real quick say a prayer. This is a church broadcast, and so we preach the Bible on this, and we pray, and that's all right because it's a religious broadcast. So if you want to join with me, you join with me, and I'm just going to ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for this day today. Whoever's listening to this broadcast, Lord, I just pray it'll be a blessing to them, Lord. It'll strengthen them. They'll feel your spirit, God. They'll get peace, Lord. Lord, their heart will be filled with faith and hope that God, in you, there is always hope. We have a blessed hope and a future in God. And Lord, I just pray that you'll guide me in your word right now, that it'll be a blessing and it'll feed people, Lord. It'll strengthen them in you. That's my prayer. And Lord, help our nation. God, help our leaders. Help those that are suffering today, God, I pray. Those that, Lord, are being overcome with fear maybe, or actually maybe are sick. Lord, are financially really hurting and don't know what's going to happen, their job situation and all kinds of things with their families. God, we just pray right now for the house of prayer, for all our friends and family, those that are listening to this, God, have tuned into this or somehow found this. We just pray, God, that they will be strengthened by your spirit in their inner man, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to go to some Bible verses today that I feel the Lord was speaking to me about this whole issue of the coronavirus. And, you know, for weeks I've been telling our church that I believe there we are wrestling with spiritual wickedness in high places, the Bible says. And also there are spirits of infirmity, spirits of fear, which they usually go hand in hand. When somebody gets a bad report of some kind of disease or sickness, what comes right with it? Usually fear. Oh no, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to die? Or am I going to have surgery, chemotherapy? All those things are very fearful if you've ever had to face any of those. And maybe I haven't faced all those, but I know people that have. And oh, I don't have to go through it to know that's fearful. They go through a very hard, trying thing when they have to go through things like that. But a spirit of fear will try to come on you. And I've been talking about the spirit of fear that wants to cripple us, wants to cause the church, you know, the people that love God, fear God, want to obey God, but the enemy wants to cause fear. And I thought about David when he came that day to the battlefield when the Israelites were out there pitched on one side, and in the valley of Elam, I believe it was, there was the Philistines and Goliath, their champion, that came out for 40 days and nights threatening them to send him out, some man to fight him. And the challenge was, if your man wins, we'll surrender to you. If our man wins Goliath, you all surrender us. Why have everybody killed in our so many casualties? We'll just have your best against our best, and we'll go from there. And the children of Israel, the Bible said, were fearful. And Saul, their own king, was fearful. And they were hiding in their tents, and they didn't want to go out and face Goliath. And here come little David. He wasn't a warrior. All he was a worshiper, a lover of God. And he was full of faith, not fear. And when the call went out that day, David said, hey, somebody ought to go out there and shut his mouth. And they challenged David, well, if you think you're so big, why don't you do it? David was like, hey, my God is that big, I will. And we know the story, David did. But the point I'm making is, they were all in fear. What's the devil want in God's people? He wants us to be fearful. But on the other hand, sometimes we are binding the devil when it's God. And many would say, oh, God wouldn't bring sickness. God don't allow this. Only the devil does bad. God only does good. I beg to differ with you. By the word of God, I believe I can prove that God, he said, I don't only make alive, I also kill. And he promises in his word, blessings and cursings. And he warns us in his word. And so I want us to look at that today before I get going too far ahead of myself here. And I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles. And if you don't, go grab your Bible right now. And because this is church. And all we have to have church is get together and get God's word out. We're having church right here. So Amos, the prophet Amos, Joel, Amos, Obadiah in the Old Testament. If you're not familiar with the book of Amos, go there. It's in chapter 3. And I'm going to read from verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's a famous verse that you hear people quote, that are Bible people anyway. You'll hear them quote that verse. There's where it's found, right there. In a question that God is proposing, that you're my people, you're my children, you only of all the families of the whole entire earth, I've specially appeared to you, brought you out of your bondage that you were in Egypt, and I brought you into the promised land. And in that time, they had forsaken God. They had turned to their idols. They had done the things that God told them not to do and warned them if they did, there would be consequences. And God is then throwing that verse out there to them in verse 3. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? Who are we talking about there? Can you, as a child of God, walk contrary to God and walk with God? The answer there is no. You cannot serve God and the devil. You cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, as the saying goes. I believe this whole crisis is meant to cause people to reassess your whole life. And look at how many people are even saying that we have forsaken time with our families. That's because we've forsaken time with God. Because see, as God and family, so goes the family, as goes our walk with God. And when our walk with God goes, there goes our family too. Everything that's precious and dear to us, our country, our freedom, all these great things that God has blessed America with, God blessed the children of Israel. He drove their enemies out, the Bible says. He said, I take you to a land that flows with milk and honey. God said, I'm taking you to a place where you'll be the head only and not the tail. But that was all conditional. And if you turn to other gods, if you forsake my laws, then I will turn against you, says the Lord. And so this is what the context here in Amos 3 is saying. Look what it goes on to say in verse 4. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he taken nothing? Other words, the lions are notoriously known for, they boast when they catch something. They roar when they catch their prey. And to signify to the others around them, hey, I'm the king of the jungle, more or less. And also to call their pride that, you know, if it's time to feed, and I, you know, that's how they communicate. God's asking the question, you think the lion's roaring just to be roaring? You think this is happening just to be happening? Watch what he goes on to say. Look at verse 5. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where there's no gin? No, there is no gin. There is no gin where no gin is for him. I couldn't quote that right. Where there's no gin for him. In other words, he don't fall into a snare where there's not one. Others, the questions are, there's a reason for all this. The bird won't fall into a snare if there's no gin for him. What's a gin? It's a trap. Okay? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? In other words, when the trap goes off, something's in it. When you hear that mouse trap snap in your kitchen that you set, you go looking for your prize, the mouse you've been trying to catch. Look at verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people be not afraid? We're alarmed, aren't we? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? I don't believe the devil can do anything lest God lets him. Maybe the devil did send coronavirus. Well, he's still God's devil. Some people may not understand that, but remember the story of Job. The devil could not touch Job till God gave him permission. That was a test. There's a difference between test and judgment. You'll hear very few preachers bold enough to tell you 9/11 was the judgment of God. He used the wicked, the Muslims. Yes, I called them the wicked, to judge God's people who were wicked. Why does 2 Chronicles 7:14 say, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, but they don't stop there, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You know, a lot of people say, oh, pray, pray, pray. No good if we don't humble ourselves. Seek God's face. That means relationship, not his hand. A lot of people seek God's hand. I need something from you, God. Help me, help me, help me. Gimme, 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 gimme. But they don't seek his face. Why? His face is relationship. They just want God to do something for him. They just want God to get them out of jail. You know, bail them out of the hole they're in. But they have no intentions of relationship with him. And God says, until you want my face, you want relationship, oh, and you're willing to turn from your wicked ways, what's he saying next? Then will I hear from heaven, then will I heal their land. God makes the land sick. God causes, when Adam and Eve sinned, God didn't only bring death upon them, he also cursed the ground, the Bible said. The earth mourns and languishes. God is going to redeem all things at the end, but not today. Today, the earth is still under the curse of sin and death. Even though we as Christians enjoy the knowledge of salvation, we know the Lord has saved us, redeemed us by his precious blood, but we have not received that promise yet till we get to heaven. Then I get my glorified body, because if this is it, I want an exchange. This one's falling apart. This one is showing signs of decay. So I don't think I've got my glorified body yet. Because some people will try to argue with you. Oh, you've got it now. Well, then please explain to me why I need these glasses. And why things are turning gray that used to be blonde and brown. If I've got the glorified body, something's wrong with this one. And I haven't got the one that I'm supposed to get yet. But I believe I will get it. Someday I'll receive that prize. But anyway, God is talking to his people here, and he's asking them some serious questions. Do you think these things just happen to happen? I don't believe that at all. I believe 9/11 was a wake-up call, and America, for a short season, they wanted prayer. I'll never forget all the phone calls. Are you having prayer? Are you having prayer? Well, this time you can call and ask us if we're having prayer, but even if we are, you can't come because they've told us we're not allowed to have more than 10 people at a time. And so unless only 10 of you at a time wants to come pray, we're going to have to regulate how many comes to pray. But they want to always have prayer. And I used to tell them, I was praying before 9/11. I'm praying during the whole crisis that we think we're all under. And when it's over and you go back to your normal lifestyle that you had before the crisis, I'll still be praying then. Prayer needs to be our lifestyle. It's not something we do just because of a crisis. And I believe that's why we get in crisis, because we have 911 emergency, state of emergency prayer. We only pray when there's emergencies. And the Lord even said in his word, in their afflictions, they'll seek me early. All of a sudden, it becomes a priority to seek God. And so the Lord uses afflictions for his own glory and to bring you back where you belong. Because even David the psalmist said, it was good for me that I was afflicted, because before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. You know, as much as I don't like afflictions, I've learned to appreciate them when they come now more, even though, oh, my flesh says, oh, no, not another one. In my spirit, I hear, well, we are going to get right with God now. We are going to walk straighter now. So I look at it as a good thing. What the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. I believe in this crisis that we're in right now, and who knows how long we're going to be in it. And everybody's saying, oh, we're going to bring it back and turn it around and be better and stronger than ever. I appreciate the optimism. And as a whole, I'm an optimist. But I will not deny the truth of God's word that tells me that it's going to get worse and worse. And then I believe that things are going to come apart at the seams, as they say. And I believe the nations, even if America's strong, we got too many other nations around us that are not strong. And how are we going to save the whole world? I believe distress is coming on the whole world, and we're feeling it. They're saying, oh, don't worry about it if you're not working. We're going to send you a check anyway. That money's coming from somebody. Somebody's paying that bill. And the pockets are only so deep. And I'm not trying to be negative or fearful. I'm trying to be realistic. And my faith is not in how strong is the almighty dollar. My faith is in the Almighty God of heaven, and I will trust in Him. David said, some trust in chariots and horses, but we will trust in the Lord. So my faith is in something that is proven, tested, tried, and true, God's holy word. And the Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not my words. That's what Jesus said. So reading on, he says, surely the Lord God, in verse 7, will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. I was talking even last week about he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. I'll tell you where the secrets are of God. He hid them in his word. He hid them in a book, the most obvious place. If you really want to hide something, put it in an obvious place. People wouldn't think to look there. The word of God has all the answers to the secrets of life. And God says, I'll reveal things to my prophets. In other words, those that speak for me. The word of God. I do not have my own word. I have God's word. This is not my words. These are God's words. I'm telling you what the word of God says. And I want to look back at that verse one more time in verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Yes, when that alarm goes off and tornado sirens start going. They went off today. This was Saturday, March what, 20th, 21st? First day of spring, if I'm not wrong, I believe it is. But anyway, I believe it's March 21st, but it's Saturday, first day of spring, and they tested our emergency sirens today at 10 o'clock like they do first Saturday or third Saturday, whatever it is of every month or however they do it. But they'll sound off those. We don't get too alarmed because we know it's just a test. And even now and then they'll do emergency broadcasts, interrupt this program to bring you this, you know, test. And they tell you don't be alarmed because this is just a test. Then there are real situations that are not a test. And you know that it's real. It brings alarm into your spirit. It should. That's what it's meant to do. Run for cover. If you're wise, you will get out from outside. If a F5 tornado is heading your way, you go seek cover. Okay, spiritually, when these things happen, like coronavirus and COVID-19, whatever they're calling it, okay, go find your hiding place. Go get a hold of your God. We who know the Lord, time to seek Him. Time to find Him like never before. Make sure your walk with Him is where it ought to be. And I think this is a blessing in disguise to us. But if we're not careful, we can get caught up in the spirit that anyone would get caught up in. Fear, disillusion, stress, anxiety. If you're getting that way, that's something you can tell God about and ask Him to forgive you for it. And because we all get pushed to the point of breaking sometimes. When enough trouble comes on our lives, we all have our breaking point. And I believe that's where, if we're breaking down, we need to go pray and get down before our God. And like David said, He heard my prayer and He brought me up out of a horrible pit. You may be down in the pit of despair. You may be totally discouraged and you feel like there's no hope nowhere. One thing about God's word that I love, and one of the fruits of the Spirit, is hope. When you get in the Spirit, when you pray and you get in God's word, guess what you're doing? You're getting infused with hope right in your spirit, man, your inner being. God wants to put hope inside of you and me. And I'm hoping that this word today will help you to at least be able to work through all the confusion, all everybody's opinion. They think it's this, they think it's that, they feel this, they feel that. All that's fine. Everybody's got their opinion. I got mine too. But what does the word of God say? And so God's saying here in the word that if the trumpet sounds, verse 6, shall the people not be afraid? And shall there be evil in a city? And the Lord hath not done it. God's saying, hey, I did it. I'm in charge. He said He has His way in the whirlwind. You know, some people think that it's just a freak of Mother Nature. No, God says, I steer the whirlwind. You think about it. Mother Nature, as they call it, God owns it all. He told Job, I store the snow in its place and the rain. I mean, God's in charge of the wind, all of it. Even the winds, when the disciples marveled at Jesus on the stormy sea that night, the disciples were so afraid and fright, and they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? You know, I can hear people today saying, Lord, don't you care? Don't you see this? Where's God? Where's God? He's on his throne, waiting to see who will seek him. Come on, let's let God hear our prayer. You got a major problem, emergency in your house, a 911 crisis going on in your home. You need to seek God. You need to call on the Most High God. The Bible said Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and they stopped. They obey his voice. They come when he tells them to come, and they go when he tells them to go. Now the devil, yeah, he can stir up storms, but God trumps him. God can override that. I don't believe Jesus brought that storm on that on the sea that night when the disciples were sailing the Sea of Galilee. I believe that most likely could have been the devil could have done that. But Jesus just took authority over it. And so, but when the Lord sends it, if evil comes, he said in here, has the Lord not done it? I want to go to another passage in 1 Kings. I've been reading the book of Kings here lately. If you want, start reading the book of Kings. And then when I go to those Bible verses and talk about some of them stories, you'll be a little more familiar with it, because my plan is to start coming to you, hopefully in the future, daily with messages that will encourage you out of the Word of God. If not, like I said, daily, as often as I can. I want to be able to bless and build up the body of Christ. That's my goal. So I've been just reading for my own personal devotions, the book of Kings, and gleaning things from it. And I found something in it the other day when I was reading, and it ties right in with this Amos 3, 6 here and 7 that we were just reading. If God sends evil in a city, hath he not done it? If evil comes, hath he not done it? And God said, hey, it's me. And I want to show you something in 1 Kings chapter 12 that I believe will say something more on the same line. Verse 19 of chapter 12, 1 Kings. So Israel, same bunch that we just read about over in Amos 3, God's people, rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David but the tribe of Judah only. Now, for you that don't know the background of this, there was civil war. Israel at one time was unified, like America when we went through the Civil War, the North and South divided. Because Solomon, David's son, that took over after David, he rebelled against God and began to worship idols when God told him not to. Because of that, God rent the kingdom from him and allowed another guy to step in, this guy here, Jeroboam. And when the people, David's son, Solomon, and then Solomon's son, Rehoboam, he took over for his dad, Solomon, that was when the split happened. And the people went with Jeroboam because they were offended because Rehoboam did some hard things to them. He increased their taxes and said, my dad, he may have you know, been this way to you, but I'm going to be way harder on you. And when he did, the children of Israel, God used this for an occasion to cause this split. So that's why it says these people didn't go with the house of David. The house of David is just the king that was. And then all down his lineage, you see different kings that took over after their dad, then the next guy took over. There was a split at this time. There were 12 tribes at one time unified. They split. 10 went to the north. 2 went to the south. Judah, though it says Judah here, it also says, and Benjamin. There was 2 tribes that joined with the south. Just 2. 10 of the north, they defected from them. So that's what this context is talking about. But look what it goes on to say, and we're going to find out the reason why. Look at verse 21. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin. No, it says tribe of Benjamin with Judah. 104 score. 4 score is 20 times 4, so 80,000. So 180,000 chosen men, which were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. In other words, these defectors, this new guy that raised up, and now he's the new king of this 10 tribes of the north. We're going to go smash him, his soldiers, and bring the kingdom back to Solomon's son, Rehoboam. But the word of God came in verse 22 of 1 Kings chapter 12. The word of what? God. Came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Verse 23, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, look at verse 24, thus saith the Lord, you shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. Goes right along with Amos 3 that we just read. If some evil comes on the city, hath not the Lord done it? God is saying, hey, you want to fight this? You want to get mad about this? You want to go attack? I did it. This is what I feel the Lord. I was asking the Lord, God, give me something to say. Give me something. And I believe this is what the Lord gave me. And this takes a lot of the stress out of this. I don't need to get mad at the CDC. I don't need to get mad at President Trump. I don't need to get mad at the Chinese. No, I believe they all have fault to a degree in all this. I'm not saying they're innocent. But they couldn't have done any of it if God didn't let them. That's what I believe. And that God will hold everybody accountable for everything that they do, right or wrong. And you and me included. There's a day coming when God judges all the thoughts, the deeds, the words, everything we've done or said, even thought. God judges it all. In the end, there is a judgment. And even in this life, we don't have to wait till the end. This wasn't the end of these people's lives. God was judging this condition of his people. And if you want to back up just a little bit to chapter 11 of 1 Kings, chapter 11, verse 1, you'll see what's caused this. Because see, a lot of times we now are looking at the circumstance that's at the moment. But let's go back a little bit. We legalized same-sex marriage. President Obama struck down the DOMA Act, which was Defense of Marriage Act. Struck it down. Allowed anybody to marry, you, two men can marry each other. Oh, and not only that, they can adopt children too. And don't worry, those kids are safe. They're in a loving, caring family. As me and you as Christians, we know that there's something wrong with that. And the transgender issue, that they're pushing little kids to go have, you know, their sexual orientation changed the way God made them. And yet they say leave little kids alone because they're young and impressionable. And how dare you push on them what you believe? Well, how dare you push on them that lifestyle that is very destructive? And that's what we believe as Christians. And as far as I know, we still have a right to our opinion on that. And that's my opinion on that. But our nation, if the Bible is true, and I say if in the sense of sarcastically, because I believe it is. But if it is true, then we have to accept that God said in his word that he won't hold us guiltless for these things. That the blood of these children that have been aborted, 63 million so far since Wade versus Roe, and we legalized abortion, made it state-sponsored, we'll pay for your abortion, help you. If you can't afford it, now we're going to use tax dollars. We're telling God, send your judgment. We're inviting the judgment of God. Now, for you who are righteous and love the Lord and fear the Lord, you need to go find you a hiding place in God. Don't go attack these enemies. Look at God, we just read there, and we're coming here mid to 11. I'm going to talk about it a little bit. But 12 is where God is bringing to pass what he said he would do in chapter 11. But God told Rehoboam and his 180,000 warriors, go home. Don't go attack Israel that defected from you. That happened because I caused it. I believe the Lord is causing this. I'm not putting this on the devil. Though he's guilty of many things and he'll get his day in court, no doubt about it. But I believe, because the Word of God, I believe this is true, what the Word says. And I believe this makes sense for what we're facing today. Judgment, the Bible says, must begin in the house of God. Church, God wants us to get right. God wants us, you know, I'm not here to attack the homosexuals, the abortion clinics. I feel sorry for them. I mean that. I'm not near as angry toward them or mad at them as I was maybe at one time in my life, because I understand now more that that's another category of deception that they're in. But I think where the greatest problems lie is with us, the people of God. These greatest rebukes that you see in the Bible, they're always to God's people. Not that God didn't rebuke other nations, because he did. And he does. And in the end, he deals with them all. But he wants to start with us, the people that he's visited. We're his family. Come on. He's our Father. We call him our God. And I believe the Lord is wanting to bless us. He loves us. But yet he's angry with us. And this is what a lot of people don't want to accept or believe, that God can be angry with his own children. Oh, yes, he can. And when we rebel against him, just like if your children rebel against you, you love them, but you're angry with them because they're tearing your heart out. They're causing you not to have the relationship you want with them. You love them. You want fellowship with them. They're denying you. They're rejecting you. There's a frustration and anger that builds up in that. And though you continually love them through that, you're mad at them and you get frustrated with them. I have parents all the time confide in me that are going through things with their kids. I am with mine. We get mad at them. We do get angry. We tell mama, cut your cell phone off. I'm gonna quit paying your insurance. I'm gonna take this from you. I'm gonna put you out on the street. Why? Because we want to make them homeless? No. We're trying to get them to repent. We're trying to get them to turn around. What's God doing with us as his children? He's trying to get us to repent. He's trying to get us to turn around. And so I want to read a little bit here out of 1 Kings 11. But King Solomon, verse 1 of 1 Kings, listen to this. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and the Hittites. All the nations that God said destroy and drive out of the land because they were pagan God worshipers. They sacrificed their children. They believed in abortion, infanticide. They would sacrifice their own children to their demon gods. They worshiped their gods of the stars and the moon and the sun. They worshiped all these false gods. They were into every kind of wicked thing you can imagine. And God was telling Solomon, don't go with them. Don't join yourself with them. Look what it says in verse 2, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come to you. For surely they will turn away your heart, they'll turn away your heart to their gods. If you run with these strange women, these are not women that grew up worshiping your God, Jehovah. They are pagan God worshipers. Solomon, they'll turn your heart away to their gods. Don't go to them and don't let them come to you. Solomon clave unto them in love. I think of the verse in the New Testament, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot love strange women. You cannot love the world and the things in it and then have the love of God in you. They are diabolically opposed. If you do have the love of the world in you and you say, what do I do, Pastor? I've already got it. I've got the COVID-19. Hey, go to the one that's got the cure, God Almighty. Do like David the psalmist. Create in me a clean heart, O God. God, seek thy servant. I've gone astray. Lord, I went after these crazy women and the world and the things of this world. The women always represent either wisdom in the book of Proverbs or seductresses, women that will seduce you. It's true in the natural. It's true in the spiritual. People are being seduced. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, I think 4:1, that the time will come and men will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Or it says, now the spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. These women are types of spirits that are trying to seduce people. And many times people always think of the sexual connotations of that, though that does take in that. But the seduction there is also to seduce you to believe a lie, seduce you to be offended, hurt, mad, come on, bitter. There's many things that devil's trying to seduce you and to try to get you to go away from your love walk with your Lord and your Savior, your God, your Heavenly Father. Solomon, God said don't do it, but Solomon loved these women. He had 700 wives, princes, and princesses, 300 concubines. All that don't matter really much for us right now, but it's the Lord's point now. He couldn't get enough. The Bible said the eye of man is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear with hearing. He who loves silver shall never be satisfied. We have a nation that's obsessed with prosperity, money. making money. Look at the stock market, what's going on right now. It can crash, and I don't want it to. But if it does, I still have the riches of God's word. The Bible said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The stock market does not control my riches. My heavenly Father, according to his riches and glory, he supplies all my needs. According to, like Paul said, according to his riches and glory, God supplies my needs. He said in his word, I take care of the birds. I take care of the ravens. I take care of the little lilies. They don't toil nor spin. And the birds, he said, look at them. I feed them. How much not more valuable are you than many birds, many fowl, many sparrows in one place? God says not one of them falls to the ground. He doesn't know about it. He knows every hair on your head. I'm trying to help you today. I'm trying to encourage you what the word of God says. And while I do that to you, I'm speaking it to myself too at the same time, just so you know that. Anything I say to you, I'm saying to myself. Amen. Thank you for your word, Lord. And he goes on to say this, that for it came to pass when Solomon was old. I didn't finish verse 3, I'm sorry. 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Why are we going through this? It's a heart problem, brothers and sisters. The heart of the problem is always in the heart. God said, if you go with these strange women, if you go, they'll have you worship their gods. It'll turn you from me, Solomon. The wisest man that ever lived besides Jesus was Solomon, according to the Bible. He was so wise, but in his area of obeying God, he was foolish. There are many people tell me what the Bible says, and they think they're so wise. But then I see their heart going after strange gods, sin in this world. And I think to myself, you're so wise, but you're acting so foolish. You're foolish. The fool departs from God. The fool is full of his folly and vanity. God delivers us from foolish pride and vanity. Look what he goes on to say there in verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. At first, he just did what he did for them. He just wanted to make his wives happy. He built them temples to worship their gods in. He allowed them to worship their gods in God's holy land, Jerusalem, in the holy city, Jerusalem. He allowed these other gods that God said, don't allow these gods. What's the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me or beside me. God don't allow those other gods. They are called gods, little g. They're not God Almighty. All they are is fallen angels. They're demons. Now, all these other religions, they're nothing but devils. That's all they are. You look at the Hindus. I mean, they have 300 million gods? That sounds big, I know. Maybe it's 3 million. It's in the millions. The 3 million or 300 million. It's a huge number. They're nothing but demons. That's all they are. And so here's Solomon. Once he gets old, though, not only does he condone their worshiping of the false gods, now he's participating in it. Exactly what God said would happen. It says, they turned away his heart after their gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. You know, David fell into sins. We all know about David's sin. But you never see David worshiping another god. You never see David condoning idol worship. His son Solomon did something that is irrevocable, brought the wrath of God upon the nation of Israel. Because look what it goes on to say. Verse 5. And Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was, verse 9, angry with Solomon. God gets angry with us. He loves Solomon. Bible says when Solomon was born, the Bible says God loved Solomon. He was precious to the Lord. Hey, the Bible says one of the signs Jesus said will mark the last days in Matthew 24, I believe verse 11, 12 there. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, The love of many is going to wax cold. You know, my greatest fear is not coronavirus. It's my love for God. If I keep my love for God, I'm going to be all right. Death is not the thing I fear the most. Spiritual death I fear. I want to stay right with God. I'm working on my walk with the Lord. This coronavirus, it's speaking to me. It's speaking to you. Where's your walk with God? Are you in love with the Lord? What's one of the things Jesus told that church in the book of Revelation? You have left your first love. You're in trouble. The church is in trouble. Why? We've left our first love. We love many strange wives in the sense of we're in love with things. We're in love with the things of this world. And God is saying to his church, I'm coming. But my bride, he said, what? Made herself ready. The Lord's saying, brothers and sisters, he's coming soon. Get your house in order. This is a strong word today. What we're going through is strong. What we're facing is strong. And it's going to get stronger. And only the strong are going to survive. I don't want to preach a weak gospel. I don't want to preach a weak message. Weakness is not going to cut it in these last days. Some people say, oh, you're too strong. Not near as strong as what you're going to face. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to challenge you. Build yourself up in the Lord. Put on strength. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Get in your Bible. Let your Bible get in you. And you will be able to face whatever trials and storms and tribulations may come your way, my way, our way. Amen. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I just want you to see that Solomon had departed from God and it opened the door for him to be attacked. Not him only, but the whole nation of Israel. Because as goes the leader, so goes the nation. That's why we pray for our leaders. Thank God we have a president right now, in spite of all his faults. You know, a lot of people say you shouldn't say nice about him. Why? Just because you want to bash him? I just have just as much right to say something good about him as you do to bash him. You go ahead and keep bashing him. I'm going to go ahead and keep saying if he's doing something good. He's against abortion. He wants us to say Merry Christmas. We don't have to say Happy Ramadan. We can say Merry Christmas. But we had a president before that wouldn't say Merry Christmas because you may offend somebody. But we can say Happy Ramadan. You know, the high holy festival for the Muslims. It's okay. We won't offend nobody if we say that. But if we say Merry Christmas, whoo, you're going to bring the wrath on you. Yes, of the devil. And so we're not to be afraid of the wrath of the devil. We know he's going to come against the church. You better get used to persecution because it's coming. And I'll probably be persecuted. This is my first message I've ever put out here online. Maybe my last one. I've probably said enough already in this message to make, you know, the whole bunch out there mad. And, oh, well, I love you, Google. I love you, Facebook. I'm praying for you, Zuckerberg. May the Lord save your soul. Amen. Let's pray for them people. I mean, you never know. I mean, if God can save the head of the Hell's Angels, I heard that Sonny Barger had become a believer. I don't know if that's true or not. Somebody out there can verify that. Praise God. I heard that he became a believer. Head of the Hell's Angels. I mean, who would ever thunk it that the head guy of the Hell's Angels would become a Christ follower? I mean, I believe with God. Look at Paul the Apostle. Was the most wicked person killing Christians and persecuting the church horribly in the book of Acts. You can read it. And yet God, in his sovereign grace, knocked him off his donkey and made him one of the greatest followers and apostles of Jesus Christ. So, you know, I don't count anybody out. I believe in miracles. But anyway, I'm going to wrap this message up. I want you to understand, I believe the hand of God is in this. Job couldn't figure out why he was going through his affliction, trying to figure out what in the world it was. We know from reading the story after the fact, it was God all along. He was in it. God allowed every bit of it. God was watching over Job through it all. He told the devil, you go this far, but no further. I believe our God still controls everything that's happening. I'm trying to tell you, as many try to tell me, God's in control. You bet he is, and he's controlled all this. I believe he is in control in every situation. I believe, though, your choices can determine what happens to you in that. When the plagues come, the Lord says in Revelation, come out of her, my people, talking about Babylon. and be not partaker of her sins, lest you be partaker of her plagues. So see, if you don't get out of the way, you shall be a casualty of God's judgment. That's not God's will for you and me. Hear the word of the Lord. Come out of her, my people. Repent. Hey, I'm glad they're shutting down the bars. They're shutting down the casinos. They're shutting down the gyms. They're shutting down a lot of the places that maybe we frequent. And restaurants and things that, you know, that we go to often, but don't go to prayer often. Don't go to the Word of God often. This is time for us to ask ourselves some questions. What you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Some people are going to find a way to, you know, still satisfy their itches that they have. But I say to the believers today, to the House of Prayer Church, to you faithful people that follow this ministry, I tell you what the Word of God says. And I plan to survive to the very end, whether I live or die. I'm not talking about death per se, breath in my lungs, but I plan to die in faith. I plan to be a believer. I'm going home with Jesus one day. I don't know when, but when I go, I'm going home with Jesus. I want you to go too. I want to take everybody with me I can. I want to encourage you in your walk with God. I want you to know that God has an answer for every situation. Those men of Israel, were going to go up and fight their own brothers, the children of Israel. They separated, became Judah and Israel. God said, don't do it. Don't do it. 1 Kings 12:24. It's me. It's me. I allowed it. Amos 3:6-7. God said, shall the alarm sound and the people not be afraid? Shall evil not come in the city? And I've done it. It's the Lord, brothers and sisters. Let's turn to him. When David was told, I'm going to bring judgment on you, David, because of what you did wrong, David said, let me fall into the hands of God, not into the hands of the evil, the wicked. Hey, you know what I say? God, chastise me if that's what I need. You afflict me, Lord, if that's what I need. But I'd rather be afflicted by you and be you be my God and I be your servant. Well, the Lord tell David, your son Solomon, if he goes away from me, I will chastise him. Hey, if you're a child of God, God will chastise you when you go away from him. In love, he doesn't afflict us willingly. He does it in love. You say, I just don't understand all these afflictions I'm going through. Hey, maybe it's just because God loves you. He's trying to bring you to your senses. He's trying to bring you back to where you're humble before him. Hey, the humble don't lose their temper with God. They don't fuss at God. They say, like Job, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I hope this has been a blessing to you. I hope to come to you with more scriptures and things out of the Word of God that will help encourage you. If this has been a blessing to you, would you please comment on our Facebook page? If you have questions, whatever, if you liked it or you didn't like it, go ahead, say something. We're open for criticism. We're open for questions, and you don't have to agree with us on everything we say. When I say we, I mean I speak for the church maybe, but in all honesty, I speak specifically for myself. And the views and opinions that I've expressed today may not necessarily be those of all them that attend the House of Prayer. But I've said what I believe, and you tell me what you believe, and I'd love to have that discussion with you if you wanted to, and we can talk about the Bible. And if you'd like to contact the church, it's the House of Prayer Church, Council Bluffs, Iowa. Our address is 28 North 7th Street, Council Bluffs. Our zip code is 51503. I'm going to say our address again. It's the House of Prayer Church, 28 North 7th Street, Council Bluffs, Iowa, 51503. We'll be making sure that people know about our church more in the days going forward, because this is how we're going to have to communicate for a while. If you need special prayer, please just put that right on the Facebook that you need prayer. And also we'll get you in contact with our message group that we have, and you can be in the prayer chain. And we want to continue to make sure you're being blessed, strengthened, prayed for. If you would like opportunity to be able to support and help this ministry, we would really appreciate that. You can write checks to the House of Prayer, send them to that address, 28 North 7th Street, Council Bluffs, Iowa, 51503. You can contact us, and if there's some other way you'd like to donate to our ministry during this economic turndown and what's going on, hey, we're going to go on by the grace of God. We're believing for you that God will continue to keep you going on. And we love you. God love you. And look forward to seeing you again in the near future soon. Till then, God be with you. Bless you. Amen.